Hey, welcome to Hellbent, a feminist podcast for those who resist and persist. I'm Devin, and today on the pod, I had the pleasure to speak with Natalie Teletnikov, who founded Better Postpartum, which is an organization dedicated to lowering the maternal mortality rate and help women get through postpartum depression and other postpartum illnesses better. Because this country has a terrible habit of undervaluing female pain.
In a recent study done by NPR, it was found that between 700 and 900 mothers are actually dying from childbirth and, you know, after childbirth in the postpartum time every year in this country. That means we're losing two mothers a day.
It was a really great interview, and she brings up a lot of really awful statistics and things that are just really surprising to know. This is a very timely issue, as Tammy Duckworth just made history by being the first senator to have a baby while in office and then bringing her newborn to a vote on the Senate floor. And there's been lots of consternation from old white men about that. And there was also an article in Broadly, which is a subsidiary of Vice, about the racism that Black pregnant women have experienced in their maternal care. And I think this is one of those issues, especially when we talk about healthcare and the ACA and these really complex interplays between legislation and what is actually happening in women's lives. And it's so hard to wrap my head around. I mean, the maternal mortality rate is actually rising in the US and declining everywhere else. And as of 2015, the maternal mortality rate in the US is 26.4 deaths for every 100,000 births. And the next highest is the UK with 9.2 deaths for every 100,000 births. So that is a huge, huge disparity. And I think it really begs the question of why. And it comes down to, I think, two very important factors. One, we disregard women's pain and women's health care in this country. It is not part of what we fight for or legislate during our time. When we talk about Affordable Care Act and some of these other things. And then also the fact that women of color in particular are ignored in these kind of conversations. And the maternal mortality rates for Black women are way higher than for their white counterparts. And actually, the mortality rate of Black infants is higher as well. Black infants are twice as likely to die as their white counterparts. So it is just a broad, across-the-board problem that we're not addressing. So, you know, OBGYNs and doulas alike are, you know, ignoring women and ignoring the pain. And then in our healthcare system, just not even beyond the actual medical process of giving birth. And then there's this mental health component that often gets ignored as well. So there's a lot of interplay here, and there's a lot of things that we as a country need to do better and need to work on providing medical care before, during, and after pregnancy for women. Because, and we'll see that in the next section, I talk about Tammy Duckworth, but, you know, motherhood is not a requirement for being a woman, and it is not something that all women want or all women, you know, are that's not part of their life, which is fine, but it is one way in which this society keeps suppressing women. You know, if you can't bring a newborn infant onto the Senate floor, then inherently you're being told that you're, as a mother, you're not welcome there and that you can't have this job. And when we look at these political institutions, there was a great tweet, you know, someone said, when political institutions and other institutions are not built for women, and the implication is that they're not welcome there because they're not. And so I think by talking about things like pregnancy care, postpartum depression, it's obviously not part of every woman's life, but it is a very important way in which women are kept out of important discussions. And so I think that this interview today will be very enlightening, and I think that it's going to be I think that this is an issue that we need to keep close eye on as we talk more about the ACA and healthcare in this country. And then, of course, you know, responding to women's pain. So I want to announce the Hellion of the Week, and as you may have guessed, it is none other than Tammy Duckworth. She made history by being the first woman to give birth while in office as a senator, as a sitting senator, and she actually took her newborn daughter to the floor to participate in a vote. And it is an exciting time for, I mean, you have to think. It's hard to celebrate. I mean, our political system is about 20% women, which is not high enough to celebrate. But by making these steps, by doing this, by showing that it's possible, I think we really start to at least shape the conversation. Because, you know, as you can imagine, there was a lot of serious pushback from old white male senators who said that this could be disruptive, that we could, you know, that this would change the Senate forever, that it would change the way the Senate works. And it's like, well, yeah, we should change the way the Senate works. The Senate is not set up for women. You know, after the first female senator was elected, there wasn't even a women's bathroom by the, you know, the meeting room. So, and that was in 1993. So yeah, we need to fucking change the way the Senate works. And just because you don't fucking like it, that's not a reason. Just because you're worried about losing your hold, your tenuous hold in this regard, that's not a fucking reason. So some dickwad on Twitter, I'm not going to say who it is and it doesn't matter, said that this is a slippery slope because you could weaponize the baby and use the baby to influence legislation, and that's just not fair. To which I say, for fun, pretend that that's true and you could weaponize a baby to influence legislation. There are new dads out there. You know, new dads can feed babies too. You know, they can't necessarily breastfeed, but they can bring their bottle and their newborn in and sit there. I mean, there's no reason why that can't happen except for the fact that that's not how we view men. And so what they're really saying is not that the baby would influence legislation, but that somehow by allowing women to participate more fully in this process, regardless of whether or not they're mothers, that could potentially be used to influence legislation. And that, if you're an old white dude, is really fucking scary. So, you know, feel your pain, bro. I'm just kidding. Go fuck yourself. But it's just a great moment. And Tammy Duckworth had this great tweet where she laid out the outfit she was going to dress her daughter in to take her onto the floor for vote, and, you know, made some quip about, well, I'm a little worried about dress code. And, you know, it was funny, but it was also, it really struck a chord to, like, the central issues of excluding women from the political narrative, and one of which is with dress code. And it's an entirely different conversation. But, you know, the thought that, you know, maybe McConnell would try to throw the baby out because she wasn't dressed appropriately is funny on its face until you realize that he could possibly actually do that. And he is the type of dickwad who would. So to fellow Hellion, Tammy Duckworth, I'm just so in awe of you. I cannot imagine. I mean, I consider myself to be a working mother as well, but you are taking it to an absolute next level. What the fuck? You know, and it's really interesting to see this in contrast too. So the Prime Minister of New Zealand just announced that she will be taking maternity leave after she gives birth. And apparently even the Prime Minister in New Zealand can take maternity leave, but we can't figure out how to prevent mothers from dying or, you know, or allow new mothers to, you know, exist in our political spectrum. So congratulations, Tammy Duckworth. You are a true badass. Today's episode is all about the challenges that mothers face. And while feeding your kid is definitely not as serious as bringing your baby to the Senate floor, a la Tammy Duckworth, it is definitely a challenge. And when I started using Sunbasket meal delivery, I was sure that my son was going to reject it outright because it's not macaroni and cheese. So it was my pleasant surprise that I found out that he actually responded very well to a lot of the recipes. And I have to give credit to the badass female chef in charge of the operation because she has created something that my kid will actually eat. And for that, I will forever be grateful. So if you would like to try Sunbasket, regardless of whether or not you have a child, you can go to sunbasket.com/hellbent for $35 off your first order. That is sunbasket.com/hellbent for $35 off. sunbasket.com/hellbent. Our guest today is Natalie Telatnikov, who is the founder of Better Postpartum, which is dedicated to helping moms with postpartum depression and lowering the maternal mortality rate in the U.S. So, Natalie, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So I want to first ask you why you started Better Postpartum.
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. And I love to share because, you know, as it is for many people, it really arose from my personal story and my personal struggle. I experienced postpartum depression myself after the birth of my first son 4 years ago, and I didn't know it at the time. So I suffered immensely for over the entire first year of his first, you know, of his life without knowing that it could have gone differently. I kind of just thought that that was motherhood as it should be. So that once the fog lifted and I realized what was happening to me, that's what really inspired me and gave me the impetus and the drive to say, we need to raise awareness about postpartum depression because it is strikingly common and women can have a better experience. Right. And that's why I created Better Postpartum.
Right. So what is postpartum depression?
I'm so glad you asked because, you know, I think people tend to look at like the CDC definition,
right,
and then they think very easily that it might not apply to them because there is a long laundry list of symptoms. I mean, postpartum depression can manifest in so many different ways for different individuals, and it can look different every time. So I think it is hard to identify if you don't know what you're looking for. But essentially, at the base, you're looking for if you're a woman who doesn't feel quite herself after having a baby. So whether that means that you just don't have the same energy or vitality, or you just feel overwhelmed or like confused that nobody told you how hard this would be, right? Just kind of feeling maybe burdened or resentful. It could be angry. It could be weepy. It could be guilty. Again, it takes on so many shades, but essentially just looking for that key factor, I always boil it down to, you know, do you feel like yourself or do you feel like something is off?
Right. So I want to ask you a little bit about why postpartum depression and other anxiety and just medical issues in general go undiagnosed for so many women. And the sort of societal side of this or cultural side of this and why women often suffer and a lot of doctors don't take their pain seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm glad you painted the picture like that because that's exactly what it is. It really roots down to a societal issue. Like the foundations upon which we stand as a society, just looking back at history, is one where women weren't valued or their voices weren't taken seriously. And so it's kind of created this, you know, this conundrum that we live in where there is no continuum of care for women postpartum. So a woman is seen in her pregnancy and usually also cared for, you know, you have routine follow-up visits at maybe 2 weeks and then 6 weeks, and that's it. And a woman is postpartum for much longer than that. And, you know, her body is going through so much mentally and emotionally. She's going through so much. And it's really just missed because society doesn't value looking into it the way that it's intended to be. I mean, you know, culturally, a very, very long time ago, women were revered as goddesses for being able to create life And we are so far away from that in this, you know, messed up patriarchal society where that totally got flipped on its head. And now women are forgotten and they're having their babies and they're left in the dark and to their own devices to figure this all out in isolation. And there's so many complications that can arise. And there's really limited education around it. And there is a stigma. And I think that's a part of the reason it's not talked about, too.
Right, right. Well, and I feel like there is this idea of pregnancy versus motherhood. I know my experience was I was, you know, people were very nice to me when I was pregnant and then didn't seem to care after I had had my son. So, you know, I feel like that is a big part of it. So is there any federal or state legislation in any state legislation that you know that is addressing these sort of maternal care and postpartum issues, maybe at a healthcare level or the ACA level? Because I know that this is considered mental health care, and mental health care is something that is, you know, underrepresented in healthcare legislation.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you asked, because, you know, right now there's a lot of awareness that's starting to crop up around the fact that this is an issue. It's a serious issue. Okay. So, you know, postpartum depression kind of gets swept under the rug a lot, but the rates are staggering in this country. It affects as many as 1 in 5 women. Wow. Okay. And that's not just postpartum depression, but, you know, any perinatal mood and anxiety disorder, including, you know, postpartum anxiety, postpartum OCD. So again, there's many ways that it can look, but, people are starting to say, wow, this is a real issue. I mean, this is an epidemic at this point, and we need to look under the hood. So there are states that are starting to propose bills to look into what's going wrong, right? How is it that this is happening today in this day and age? Because it really shouldn't be, and it's stifling. And a lot of people don't consider that, you know, this problem leads into a much more serious problem, where right now we're seeing that the U.S. has the highest rate of maternal morbidity in the developed world.
Wow.
That means the maternal death rate here is right. Isn't that shocking?
That is shocking.
I mean, in a recent study done by NPR, it was found that between 700 and 900 mothers are actually dying from childbirth and, you know, after childbirth in the postpartum time, every year in this country. That means we're losing 2 mothers a day.
Wow.
You know? And it's, and, you know, it's really not looked at. So this investigation that was done by NPR, it was called Lost Mothers.
Right.
Because they said, we really need to examine, you know, this is kind of a secret. It's not talked about. We need to look at this and see what we're doing wrong as a country and what we can do better.
Right.
So states now are starting to put bills in place where they want to examine the causes of this, the causes of the maternal morbidity rate being so high. And the striking thing, I should mention, that they found in this reporting is that they were surprised to find how many of the deaths happened in the postpartum time and how many were related to perinatal mood and anxiety disorders like postpartum depression. So there's a real link here.
Right.
And it can't be ignored.
Right. So how does ignoring postpartum depression and the maternal mortality rate in general kind of add to the suppression of women and the, I don't know, there, I feel like it really plays into, I feel like there's a line here between this and the idea that women are too emotional to run companies or be in politics or, you know, something like that, or, you know, they should get out of the workforce after their mother. So how does this systemically kind of interplay with that?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So much. And it's so sad because we are seeing, you know, this thing about women not being heard. I mean, that's the fundamental thing here, right? Is that women either feel ashamed or they feel a stigma so that they can't come out and open up about their depression.
Right.
Women who try to seek, you know, medical or professional advice and sometimes broach that line and say how they're feeling, they're getting dismissed
right.
because their care providers aren't educated in the signs and symptoms. And so, yeah, they chalk it up to, you know, other things, or they sweep it under the rug. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, and it's maddening and sickening and very aggravating, how many times people, I hear of people just getting absolutely dismissed. Like, they'll say, God, I feel so fatigued, like so bone tired,
right.
you know, just like, oh yeah, like motherhood will do that to you, you know, like you're not sleeping, so you're tired. It's like beyond that. It's a chronic unwellness. It's a right. it's a condition. And
right.
so mothers, even mothers, when they have a clue, they're getting silenced.
Right, right. So you mentioned stigma, and I feel like this is really at the heart of a lot of these issues, especially around women's pain and women's mental health. So there definitely is the stigma that if you're not happy or something is going on after you give birth, you're somehow not a good mother or there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
So how does Better Postpartum aim to address the stigma side? So not just the health or the legislation side, which, you know, looking into maternal mortality, but this sort of stigma that really surrounds this issue.
Well, it's great because, you know, as the founder of Better Postpartum, I obviously seek to help women either avoid these issues like postpartum depression altogether or alleviate them should they arise. So it's kind of, you know, a step in saying, you know, listen, a lot of people, like celebrities now, are coming out about their postpartum depression, like Chrissy Teigen and Serena Williams. And mm-hmm. I feel like that stigma is kind of lifting in society. So we're at this place where we can talk about motherhood in a raw and real way, finally, right?
Right.
And so now let's talk about how to cope and how to thrive, right? Not mm-hmm. just survive motherhood, but thrive in motherhood. So, you know, fundamentally, education is at the heart of this, because the women who suffer the most and the longest are the ones who don't even know what's going on. They aren't able to identify it. So by, we combat this staggering rate of postpartum depression, this staggering rate of maternal morbidity through education, first and foremost. We're saying, look, this is what it looks like if you have postpartum depression. If you identify with any of this, this is what you can do. The power is actually in your hands. So we're making women feel empowered again to be able to take control of their destiny and you know, change things for the better, because the intensity and the duration of any depression or any challenges that they're suffering
right.
will go down drastically if
right.
they just are aware, right, and have the tools and the resources and the support that they need. And that's what Better Postpartum provides.
Right. So, and I know that there's also this thought that issues related to something like postpartum depression are often ignored in communities of color and you know, mm-hmm. these sort of underrepresented groups in general. So are maternal mortality rates higher in certain groups of women or certain races or classes?
Yeah, yeah, they are. And it's so sad, but it just reflects, again, you know, the state of our society. Women of color are especially at risk, and they're dying at a rate of 3 to 4 times that of white women.
Wow.
And that's removing all other factors. So we're not looking at economic factors or, you know, the disparity in access to healthcare, which, you know, does exist, but removing all of that, just with everything else equal.
Wow.
It's just, yeah, it's so sad and it's so overwhelming. And, you know, there was just a piece written in the New York Times about this, actually, you know, that's getting a lot of attention, as it should. And it's saying that the real issue, the underlying issue, is just the lived experience of being Black in America.
Right, right.
It has nothing to do with anything else. And so, Yeah, this is a really complex problem, and it does affect all women, but it certainly affects some more than others, right. And it needs to be addressed.
Right. So there are a lot of movements right now. There's, you know, the Me Too movement and this focus on hearing women's voices and acknowledging their lived experiences. So something like sexual assault or postpartum depression, which are for a long time have been very taboo subjects. So what is better postpartum besides education aiming to do?
Yeah, no, I'm so glad you asked because, you know, we're obviously trying to be the change and be part of the solution. And so I have recently partnered with a nonprofit organization called the Peter C. Alderman Foundation. Mm. And they do amazing work over in Uganda for maternal mental health care. And what happened is they went into Uganda because it's a post-crisis society, and the rates of postpartum depression there were staggering. And so they said, let's try to implement a steeped care model. Let's put together community workers and kind of build this structure, this framework to try to help alleviate postpartum depression here in Uganda. And they were able to do it with stunning success. Okay, so this is a perfect example of something that's being done elsewhere in the world that needs to be done here. And that essentially is what we're trying to do. But PCAF, the Peter C. Alderman Foundation, they gave women who were screening positive for postpartum depression just 1 hour of what they call psychoeducation, mm-hmm. which is essentially just having a community worker explain to them, like I said, the signs and symptoms of postpartum depression, right. and then giving them tools and coping mechanisms. Here's what you can do to get you through it and to make it better. And so with just 1 hour of education, these women were sent home and then came back at a four-week follow-up visit, and 80% of them reported drastically reduced symptoms of depression.
Holy crap.
yeah, I know. Exactly. I just want everyone to, like, stop and take that in, right? So just knowing, again, that it's possible. It's not even just possible. It's proven
right.
that this works,
right.
right? And so Better Postpartum offers 10 hours, that's 10 times the amount of psychoeducation, but it's done in a really fun and friendly way that's like fit for, you know, hip moms here in America who just want their like daily emails and their, you know, their bites of, it's literally 5 to 10 minute video segments every day accompanied by a little email. And it features all of the experts that you would need to get you through this time. So Better Postpartum is amazing, and it's one of a kind because never before have all of these voices been brought together in one place. So, I mean, you're hearing from midwives and doulas, lactation consultants, postpartum nutritionists, therapists, pleasure coaches, you know, just like, and more, right? Just
right.
Anyone that you would really need to talk to get this holistic wellness where you're addressing whatever's going on for you postpartum physically, with your physical recovery after childbirth, mentally or emotionally.
Wow.
So we're really like treating the whole woman. We're addressing everything with education, and we know it works.
Right. You know, it's so interesting.
It's, yeah.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it's so interesting because it feels like a lot of this care should be part of our existing health system and our existing healthcare structure. And it's not. It's taking, you know, women in the community to basically come together and say, here's what we need to do. And since society, you know, since our healthcare coverage doesn't include this, we're going to just fuck it. We're going to do it ourselves.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yep. Like a true hellion, right?
Like a true hellion. Exactly.
But that is, yeah, that is what we need to do. And that's, you know, that's what I'm in the position to do right now with, you know, with my partnership with PCAF, is that they essentially said, now, okay, we know that this works in Uganda. we're going to reverse engineer it. We're going to adapt it for America. Let's bring it here. And so I'm now a part of a very exciting fundraiser where we're raising money to do exactly that.
Ooh.
And we're trying to raise money so that starting in New York with New York hospitals, there are already 50 different hospital systems, not 50 hospitals, 50 hospital systems in the state of New York who are ready to implement Better Postpartum and this whole Ugandan program that is going to be adapted for the U.S. Starting soon, if we can just rally behind it. So we are raising funds. We want to raise $125,000 in scholarships so that we are providing women with Better Postpartum, particularly, you know, low-income women who need the access to that care, you know, and can't buy the program themselves. But it's amazing because we're trying to integrate it into hospitals. We're trying to integrate it into the healthcare system because that's where it belongs.
Right. So how can Hellions get involved?
Awesome. Thank you so much. So for anyone listening who cares about this, you can follow me at Better Postpartum on Instagram. That's my handle. Or Facebook. I have a link right in my profile to the CrowdRise fundraising page because we're a part of a really exciting competition, actually. So it's not that we're just fundraising on our own. We are in a competition where USA Today may grant us up to $100,000.
Oh, wow.
Toward our goal. If we are able to raise just $6,000 on our own.
Wow.
Which seems totally doable with your help and support.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's a really exciting opportunity. The contest is called A Community Thrives. And, yeah, and they're looking to, you know, to back dreamers like us who want to make a change.
Right.
There's desperately needed one. Because I have to say, I totally forgot to mention this earlier, but with the whole, you know, with the whole maternal death rate being as high as it is, I read that the last time it was this high was in the year 1850.
Wow.
Okay, so since 1850, it hasn't been that high. And we're talking, okay, interesting fun fact about 1850 is that back then, when women were getting married, it was customary for them to prepare their bridal gown and also make their burial shroud at the same time, because that's how likely they were to die in childbirth. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Shocking.
That is true.
That was the truth of being a woman in 1850, and now we're seeing maternal morbidity rates as high as that. I mean,
it is too early in the morning for that.
It's insane.
Forever.
And it's
scary, always
and
too
it's sad. I know. I just gave you a lot to chew on, but you know, it's the kind of thing where we're faced with this real, like very real, very scary issue, and yet there's such a simple way to address the problem.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's like through education and spreading awareness, you know, like we have the power to change that.
Oh, I mean, I love the fact that in Uganda, a lot of these issues were solved with 1 hour of counseling and we can't get it together.
Exactly.
For that.
Yeah. Right.
Like, amazing. Great.
Seriously.
Go us. So I have one last question. Obviously, this is a very serious and difficult topic, and we live sort of in dark times in general. So what is something that you're grateful for? And it can be big or small or silly or serious, and just what gets you through the day? Because obviously there's so much going on, and we like to ask all of our guests what they're grateful for.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad you asked. I love trying to always be in the space of gratitude. The first thing that popped into my mind was I'm grateful for my spiritual practice.
Mm.
It keeps me very, very grounded. So I don't know who out there can resonate with this. And, you know, I think all different ways of being are super beautiful. But for me, what really gets me through is, you know, this just ultimate trust in the universe. Like, I always feel guided.
Right.
And I think there's nothing that I'm more grateful for than being able to access that or being able to feel that, to feel so supported and held, even, even when everything outside is spinning and seems so crazy.
Right, right. Yeah, that's lovely. Having that inner groundedness is so important. You know, we talk about it a lot. How self-care and basically when you need a break, take a break. There are other people out there, and then jump back in when you're ready. So I love that.
Totally. Yeah. It's like, it's not everyone's cup of tea and everyone has their own way, but like that's my way.
Right.
And I'm super grateful for it.
Yeah. No, that's wonderful. So thank you so much, Natalie, for coming on the show today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you
I'm so glad we could get the word out about this.
Yeah. This is great. This is great. So you can follow Natalie at Better Postpartum on Twitter and Facebook and social media in general. And, you know, this is also an issue that you can call your local reps and your federal reps about. And this is something that we can take on at a legislative level. So thank you again, Natalie, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Hellions, that's it for me. I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. We are going to be back here on Monday, so have a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening. Be kind and raise some hell. I'll see you next week.